Well, I want to bring you greetings also from the Baptist Convention of Maryland, Delaware, 500 plus sister churches that Northwest Baptist Church voluntarily cooperates together with. I love this church. They've always had a heart for their community, and it's not limited for their community. They have impact many places beyond the community, and one of the ways in which they do that is by voluntarily cooperating together with other like-minded sister churches in the Baptist Convention of Maryland, Delaware. Now, when I was here before, I shared with you from Isaiah 55, and I think today I'd direct your attention to Isaiah 59. It's always good to open the Word of God and look in it. You can keep an eye on the person up front, make sure that what they're saying, the Bible is saying. And if they're not saying much, well, you can read the Bible. At least it's saying something to you. So it's Isaiah chapter 59. Now, have you ever heard people ask one of these two questions? Why does God allow things to be so bad? You know, the pandemic, in one sense, if you just have to stay in your house for a little while, we can handle that, but it's gone on and on and on, and there's people that are sick and people that are dying, and all kinds of other things are happening in addition to the general moral decay of the nation around us. Why does God allow things to be so bad? And why? Why are my prayers not being answered? Now, maybe that's not the question you're asking, but there's a lot of people that ask that question. Why does God not answer my prayers? And so we want to look in Isaiah 59. I think there's some answers to these questions right here. The book of Isaiah, just reminding people that are fresh to this, it was written by a prophet of God named Isaiah, 7 centuries before Jesus Christ came to live on earth. It has a lot to say about Messiah. It has a lot to say about salvation. Chapters 49 to 57 have a lot to say about Messiah. Chapters 58 to 66 have a lot to say about salvation. Salvation for all who acknowledge sin and trust in God. Now, when you and I think about salvation, we think about how is God going to rescue us from the sin all around us so we can enjoy Him forever in heaven? But salvation also means how is God going to rescue us from the sin that's all around us so we can start enjoying Him here, right now? And in the Old Testament particularly, you might hear one or the other, maybe both at the same time, no matter how you and I say it. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah, we're talking about, can I be delivered from what's here? And will I ultimately be delivered to be with God forevermore? Well, now, what was the world like back then that God needs to rescue from sin? I would say two things today from Isaiah 59. And the first is that sin is rampant. You can look at the first 15 verses and you can see that sin is rampant. Let me just read a few of those verses to you right now. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or is his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear." Slip into verse 4. "No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity." Let me slip to verse 7. "Their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways." I have to stop there for a second. Some of you have a good memory. You remember I was actually here before. Pastor Chris remembered. I was impressed by that. There you go. Okay. And I had mask on, and people were saying, "I think I've seen your eyes before." Isaiah 55. God is saying that your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. You know, and as high as heaven is, higher above us, that God's thoughts and God's ways are higher than your ways and my ways. And here we are. We're still in thoughts and ways. Their feet run to evil. That's a way. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. That's a thought. Let me slip down to verse 14. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the public squares and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And so in these first 15 verses, I read some and you can see more, sin is rampant. I don't think there's a soul here today that would say, well, what does that have to do with us? Sin is rampant around us. And in verse 1, do you see the question? It's talking about save, cannot save. Now, remember this here. See the hand. It says God's hand. It's not that it's short. It's not too short to rescue people. His hand, it's sufficient. You know, is it God? Is that the problem? Is the problem that God cannot hear? What'd you say? Is it God cannot hear? My ears are getting a little dull from old age, but God's are not. So what is the problem if God's hand is not too short and his ears are just fine, thank you, that he can hear and he can see and he knows the prayer before we pray it? Well, the problem, verse 2, is you and me. It says, my iniquities have made a separation between us and God. So the problem is not, as so many people do, it must be God. Do you remember 911? It was an amazing change in our country. The day before, people just lived their own lives, and for most of them, except for, of course, followers of Jesus, God was not a part of their daily life. And then the towers went down, and people are saying, why did God do that? Or maybe a little more generous, why did God allow that? Now, here's a big problem, and right away people sensed, can't be my fault, can't be your fault. Why would people do this? Must be God. So all of a sudden, God comes, and no, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. Our sin has separated us from God. So although there's lots of needs around us, the biggest need that you and I have today is to get connected to God, to be close to God, to grow in our relationship with God. Sin has made a separation, and you can mark this from Jim Bohr. You never find in sin that which you enter sin to find. So we're grabbing on the sin. But sin is deceptive. Because you and I will never find in sin that which you enter sin to find. And the only person that has no clue what that means is the person that has never entered sin. That's not us. Or the person that's completely unaware what sin is. Because you never find in sin that which you enter the sin to find. Now, on commercials, you know, for $19.99, you can get this, but there's more, you know, not just this, not just that, but all of the other. If you'll just pay shipping and handling, you can get double or triple or whatever. That's the good news. This is the bad news. There's more. It's even worse than I just said. Now, I know this is like discouraging. What do we come to church for? We want to be encouraged, not discouraged. But it's beautiful the way these two things fit together here, part one and part two in Isaiah 59. This is part one. We've got to realize the seriousness of the situation. And I wanted to slip out just for a second, Psalm 66:18. You can make a note of that if you want to. Psalm 66:18. I thought it important enough that I memorized this verse. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Psalm 66:18. cherish. You know what the cherish is? You know, that I have a friend who loves Hot Wheels. He's a grown man, but he loves Hot Wheels. He loves them so much, there's an extension to his house. It's filled with Hot Wheels. Thousands and thousands of Hot Wheels on shelves from floor to ceiling and, you know, from this wall to that wall and farther, filled with them. He cherishes. He loves them. Thank you so much for bringing me to Psalm 66 there. He loves them. And that's cherishing. That's wanting. If there's something that you and I want. Now, I can enjoy a good crab cake. Maybe I'll even cherish it for a little bit. But cherish, like have something just remain in your heart for a long time. You got to be careful what you do that with. Because Psalm 66, 18 says, if you cherish sin in your heart, that God's not going to listen. Now, you can pray a prayer, but there's no expectation that God's going to answer that prayer if there's sin separating you from God. And even we who follow Jesus have to watch out for this. Now, you and I might not actively go out. We're not robbing banks. But do we long for what our neighbor has? We might not be committing sexual immorality, but in our mind, do you wish sometimes, I wish I could just get away with that? You know, is there something you wouldn't do in front of others, but you'd think about, you'd look at, you'd dwell on, if nobody knew? That's cherishing sin in your heart. And God is not just saying here in Isaiah 59 that our sin, you know, what we overtly do makes a separation between us and God. You know, it informed by Psalm 66, it's what we think about too. It's what we dwell on in our heart. So if you or I are filling our heart and our mind and our life with things that God doesn't want us to, that's going to cut us off from God. And you're on your own. I'm on my own. We're not going to get our prayers answered. Now, there are other reasons why our prayers may not be answered, but this is certainly one of them. And depending on who you are, it could be the big one. All right, so we're seeing that sin is a problem. It's separating us from God. What was it like back then where there's all this problem? Now, I wanted to do some historical research, and I wanted to explain to you exactly what it was like in those days, but there's no need. Because the scripture tells us. Here you can look down in verse 4. It's universal. It says, no one. They're apparently very litigious like today. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. It reminds me of Romans 3, 10 through 12. As is written, there's none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. You know, I think I'm a little better than some people. But the scriptures don't allow me to do that. It tells me that we've got a universal problem. And that no one, they rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. Look in the bottom of verse, in the bottom of verse 4. It says that at the bottom of there, they conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. Now, we were praying for a young lady in our community just yesterday that was giving birth, and, you know, a man and a woman come together, and there's a conception. Here, we're looking for the fruit of that, for that baby to be born, to give birth. And yet, we're talking about a birth we don't want here in verse 4. We're talking about people that struggle with sin. And what are they doing? They're reproducing themselves. We're reproducing ourselves if we're giving birth to sin. And so when we are separated from God, When we find ourselves not following God, not living with God, we find we reproduce ourselves. Now, you could reproduce yourself that you're loving Jesus, and like we thank you so much. The music is glorious here always, and our hearts are just beating together. Yes, I love God. I want to give myself completely to Him, and we can reproduce ourselves with others that want to enjoy doing that. You're so creative. You've probably done this already, Shannon. We had, at our church, the worship team led this. We had a prayer and praise bonfire. Now, the larger the church, the harder that is to do. But we went outside, and we had several things of fire. It's good because it was a cold night. And for one full hour, Pastor Chris, one full hour, people read Scripture, and then we prayed back the Scripture. I was impressed that people were able to do that. And then we took another half hour and we sang worship to God. Now, we're reproducing people that love Scripture, people who want to pray, people that want to sing. But there's a lot of folks that are reproducing something else, this verse is telling me. They're reproducing sin. That's what it was like back then, that sinners were reproducing sin, and it's happening today too. In fact, you can see that in verse 7, their feet run to evil, they're swift to shed innocent blood, their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity or of sin. And this results in this leaving desolation and destruction wherever you go all around you. You could say that sin has become second nature. They're running to evil. Notice again, the thought life. The thought life, not just in their actions, but in our thinking. We're prone to this, that's our second nature. So what do you think about? What do you think about a lot? What are the priorities in your thinking? Is that actually your God? There's people who think, no. I know I don't think godly thoughts all the time, but I do come to church on Sunday. Well, that's nice that you come to church on Sunday, but the result of, did you come and just sit in a building, or are you here worshiping a God that you've lived with all week long? You can tell, are you running to evil or are you not? What are your thoughts? And I want to tell you, I am trained, experienced, certified, old follower of Jesus. And I struggle on this too. Because if I did not struggle, that means I'm perfect. I am there. And you and I are not perfect. Look at somebody in your pew or at your home. Look at them now and through your eyes, tell them, you're not perfect. All right. Somebody going to do it. Yeah. Okay. All right. And you know it was true what you just said. You know it was true. So what's at the heart of all of this difficulty? The heart of this difficulty is verse 13, and that is people that are turning from following God, turning back from God. And so instead of going to God, we're turning our back on God, and we're embracing sin. We're not following God, we are embracing sin. And that, when that is happening, sin is rampant. Denying the Lord, turning from Him, turning to embrace sin. But I've got good news. Would you say that? I'm going to say, good news. Would you say, good news? I'm going to say it again, good news. Would you say it again? Yes, it's good news. You heard that at home. It's good news. There's good news, and the good news here is in the second half of this chapter, and that is that God will intercede. But God will intercede. Verses 16 to 21. And so, verse 16. Remember when I said, look at the hand. Look at the hand. Now look at this. Look at the arm. Look at the arm. So they're saying, God's hand's not too short to save, is it? But verse 16, it says that his arm, do you see how, just a little imagery there? Is your hand too short, God? My arm is able to save. See, it's just kind of from the small to the big. He's trying to show us, we got a problem, you think small, God's big, and God's arm is big enough to bring this rescue from sin, the deliverance from sin, the salvation you want. And it's not upheld by us, it's upheld by what? By his righteousness, by his righteousness. And I appreciate that, Shannon. I'm not sure that I highlighted that, but you did, and I like that. his righteousness. And this brings the promise of verse 20, a redeemer. A redeemer. Isaiah in the Old Testament is talking about a redeemer. Who might that redeemer be? Who might it be? Well, if we read Isaiah 53, where it talks about, you know, that he's being bruised and pierced for our iniquities, kind of sounds like Jesus on the cross, doesn't it? I think that's the Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. And the Redeemer, I believe, is Jesus that Isaiah is talking about. And the gospel is the gospel of that Redeemer, that Jesus Christ came, and we're going to celebrate that coming, that advent, that coming to earth in another month. And he came and he lived a life without sin. We got to see him kind of grow up and have no sin. And then he was willing to die. And then he rose again from the dead to show that the death worked. Now, what would be the death? Now, Redeemer, you know what Redeemer is? Redeemer is where you're paying for someone or substituting something to free them. And so in those days, there were slave markets. And you could go to the slave market and you could put a substitute for the slave. Okay, there's the slave. He's worth this. She's worth that. I'm going to give you this. And then give me the slave and then set the slave free. God did that famously with Israel in Egypt. He set the slaves free. There was a price to be paid to get them out. Cost the life of all the firstborn. But among the God followers, they could sacrifice a lamb. And the blood of the lamb would be the substitute that would free them. And yet still, the firstborn belonged to God. However, they made a way. God made a way that there could be a substitute there too, and there was a number of shekels, and you paid those shekels, and that person that was dedicated to God now could live his life out, still to God, but no longer reserved for nothing other than the service of God. By not, you know, you can't live any other life. You've got to be like a priest, you know, cleaning out the temple or something. And so there, when God redeemed from Egypt, there was a substitute, it was a death, there's a price to be paid, and Jesus Christ came, lived the perfect life, so that he could be our substitute, he could pay a price, he could substitute himself for us, that's how he became the Redeemer, the resurrection, coming back from the dead, that's not happened before. Resuscitations, yes. Resurrections, no. That showed that it worked, that you or I, who now sense the difficulty of life because sin is not only rampant in the world, but sin is becoming rampant in my heart. It's controlling my thoughts and my thinking. It's changing my actions. I'm not the person I wanted to be. Have you ever felt that in your life? Why do I do this? Why don't I do that? The Redeemer has come to change. And look at that change as it happens further in verse 20. Where you turn from transgression. Now, do you remember before? People, instead of facing God, they're turning away. It was verse 13. Look at the contrast right away in verse 20, because now it's saying, turn from sin, turn to God. Do you see that? Do you see that? Verse 13, sin's rampant because they're turning from God to sin. And now we got a Redeemer that comes. And what is the sign that a person believes in the Redeemer? That they're turning from sin to embrace God. Do you see that? Isn't that wonderful? And so that's why we had these two parts together. And I didn't write this. Isaiah did a good job under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because sin is rampant, but God himself will intervene. That's the good news, that sin is rampant, but God will intercede. He will intervene. It's going to be his arm. It's going to be his righteousness. And that changes our hearts and our minds so that we turn from the sin and turn to God. And that's called repentance. Big word, but it means a change of the mind. And you can tell if the mind has changed. I mean, anybody can say, oh, I changed my mind. But if they're doing the same thing, they've not changed their mind. Change the mind, where there's a change of direction in life, change of action, change of thoughts. And that's what happens when the Redeemer comes. So sin is rampant. We turn to God. We turn away from sin. And then God shows us a new way. But then as we grow out in God's kindness, sometimes he shines a light into our lives and says, no, you know, I know we couldn't do this all at once, but there's another area of your life I want to work on. Now there's this or that. There's this action, that word, this thought. The way you relate to this one. It's time to forgive that person. It's time to love this person. Time to step out in generosity. It's time to be concerned more than your own family. It's time to make a difference in the world. It's time to get through the Bible once in this next year. It's time to start praying a little bit more actively, not just for what pops up, but for things you intend to pray for long term, long time, to make a difference in this world. What has God been telling you recently, or even in the last few minutes? Is there something that God wants you to turn from? Something God wants you to turn toward? What sin is there in your life that God is calling you to leave? Is it anger? Oh, I'm just that kind of a person. No, no, God's not saying that. He said, no, you need to leave that. Is it impatience? I'd like to be patient. I just can't wait that long. Is it pride? Don't be like me. When I thought I had no problem with pride, I was pretty proud of that too. We all have a problem with pride. If you have to have the last word, if you've got to be right, you know, you've got to prove wrong. One of my grandchildren the other day was correcting everybody in the room. I said, are you the police? we're talking about beds. Are you the bed police? Are you a police woman or a policeman in something that you actually is not your job? How about fear? You have fear of the past, fear of the future, fear of loneliness, fear of COVID, fear of touching. Sometimes some fears help us. But does it keep you awake at night? Do you have a fear of staying single? I got one. Do you have a fear of staying married? This is sad, but there's people that are afraid they might stay married the rest of their life. That was what they promised, but didn't turn out the way they expected. How about anxiety? An unwillingness to forgive somebody. Well, they deserve it. No. The Bible never says you don't have to forgive the people as long as you know that they deserve not to be forgiven. Hey, forgiveness is for you and I anyway. It's not going to... You think by being angry at them, it's going to change something in their life? It just changes your life. Come talk to me afterwards. I'll explain how that, the physiological changes. How about an addiction? Addiction to drugs. Addiction to alcohol, addiction to video games, addiction to sleep, addiction to sex, addiction to Netflix. I'm not trying to step on your toes. I don't know how much you're supposed to watch that. It's between you and God. You have an addiction to watching certain pictures, pornographic, certain videos that get you excited the wrong way. Is there something God wants you to turn from this day? We've got a great promise here. Got a great promise. It's in verse 21. And that promise is this. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. That's great. God's ways, God's thoughts are greater than ours. And he gives you that promise. You turn from sin. Turn to God. His word, his way can stay with you by the power not of your own effort. Hey, you and I got to do the best we can. But the best we can't cut it when you're talking about sin being rampant. However, with the Spirit of God in our heart, with the word of God changing the thinking, that's Romans chapter 12 type changes, then, and he's not going to depart, then, we can see that God's intercession is making a difference. So, I'm going to call you to respond to this. Today, you can talk to God. Right now, I'm going to give you a chance to pray. You might want to afterwards come, Pastor Chris will be here, I'm going to stick around, and you might want to say, could I have some special prayer? Or I've got an issue I want to talk about. The gal Lisa, that gave her testimony, I don't know if she's here right now. Is there anybody here right now that's kind of Celebrate Recovery type stuff, I think, isn't it? We got some Celebrate Recovery people here? Okay, yeah, all right, I can see several of them. So we've got people like that. I'm a Celebrate Recovery type of a person. And you say, look, you know, I got a hurt, habit, hang up that I can't manage. Life is unmanageable. Hey, we got something for you. We got something for you. And they can tell you about that. We'll stay here. We'll talk with you. We'll pray with you. We'll answer your questions best that we can. And if you say, just point out, how can I find God? I'd like to do that. Pastor Chris would like to do that. You might want to find God for the first time. Or you might say, I've been like walking away. I'm realizing that. You can pray and tell God a commitment. And I would ask you afterwards, tell somebody that can hold you accountable. If you're home, tell the person next to you. If they're not a believer, call a friend, call somebody of the church, call the church office and say, I just did such and such. I have turned my back on this sin that was starting to become a priority in my life. You can do that. You can do that right now. Respond to God by prayer. And let's pray about that as I lead you in prayer. Gracious Father, help that one who's been thinking about this a long time, or maybe this is the first time they've ever thought about the fact maybe they are not a follower of Jesus because sin is controlling their heart. I pray that you might help them, if this is what they believe, to say something like this. God, I know I'm guilty of sin. God, thank you for Jesus the Redeemer, who gave himself as a substitute for my sin. I want to turn to you. Would you come into my life and make me the person, the boy, the girl, the man, the woman you want me to be? Lord, hear that prayer and help that one to tell somebody who can give them a message about how to proceed next to get to know God better. Lord, connect them to a good church that can help with that too. And I pray, Father, for many of my brothers and sisters right now. There's something in their life, and they know it now. They might have known it for a while, but they know it just now. It's getting a little too strong. That cherish is stronger than they cherish you. And I want to pray for that one right now. They're praying in their heart. I want to pray for that one too, God. I want to pray that your Spirit would help them to make that change, to repent of the sin, to turn from the sin, to turn to God. And you would help them to see this promise that the Holy Spirit gives amazing and abundant power to find victory simply because you have turned it over to God. Would you do that to your glory? And would you help them to share it with another who can be praying with them? We pray this, Lord, to your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.